It's a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
A good Wednesday to you and yours. Happy Hub Day. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. A potpourri for your Hump Day installment of the Sports Hub today. We'll get to the jump here in just a bit. Talking some Minnesota Twins a quarter past the hour as we'll catch up with Cody Christie. Looking forward to that discussion there with Cody, and that's coming up here in the next 15 minutes or so. He, of course, writes for Twins Daily. And then we're going to swing the sticks with Jake Irie, head defensive line coach there for the Northern State football squad, as he'll get us posted on what's on tap for the Northern State football squad as they've got their golf event coming up here 1 week from Friday. That'll be on June the 6th. Looking forward to that discussion. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour live in studio right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra, Matt McClure. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How about yourself here today?
You know, we'll find out. I told you off the air, I'm working on cup of coffee number two over here, which is dangerous for yours truly more often than not. So we'll see how it all plays out today.
Yeah, I had a cup earlier today. I got the little breakfast blend, the light roast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a little different, man. It's a little easier for me. It's not as bitter.
Yeah. I had a cup of black coffee over the weekend. No, let me rephrase. I had a sip of black coffee over the weekend. I don't know how people do it.
I was just going to ask you, do you put creamer in your coffee
you
all the time?
Got to.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I got some psycho friends that can drink it black, and I'm just like, how is that even possible? But I'm a cream guy for sure.
Absolutely. We had Scott Solberg here in the studio this last week. He's a big black coffee guy. Hey, speaking of Jake Irie, you know, Northern State defensive line coach, a lot of those coaches, you know, when they're getting ready for game day on Saturday morning and the team is not quite there yet for breakfast, those guys are slugging black coffee. I'm like, man, how do you guys do it?
I can do iced black coffee. I can do that without any cream or anything like that. But for hot, for some reason, it's just too bitter.
Too bland
for me.
Yeah, too bitter. That's absolutely the case. But, you know, they do say that people that do drink black coffee have psychopathic tendencies. I'm not just making that up. You can Google it. It's an actual thing. So shout out to all the psychopaths out there. I mean, I'm a psycho for different reasons, but it's not with my coffee drinking. All right, he is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and get after this Wednesday on the Sports Hub on FSA. And speaking of psychos, there is no two ways about it that in my lifetime, probably the best golfer that I've ever seen play is Tiger Woods. I don't think that's necessarily breaking any news, much like many people would say the best basketball player they ever saw was Michael Jordan or LeBron James or something like that. Everyone has different answers. Probably my dad would say Jack Nicklaus. You know, your mileage may vary. But speaking of Tiger Woods, his son Charlie is a pretty good golfer as he fired a 65 in round two of the Team TaylorMade Invitational. He is now tied for second place, 9 under par, in a field of 72 players at Streamsong Resort's Black Course there in Bowling Green, Florida. And a 65 is pretty phenomenal. I'm not sure how old Charlie Woods is. I'm guessing he's probably a teenager. Maybe
16.
I was going to say, he's probably a teenager. Yeah, I was going to guess 15. But can you imagine, A, being Tiger Woods' son, and B, the genetics that you have, and C, firing a 65? Man alive, this guy is cooking.
Yeah, he's been impressive, that's for sure. And wonder why he's good at golf. Well, his dad's Tiger Woods. And I had to look up the age real quick here, too, because he is 16, and you got to think he's just going to continue to get better and better and better. And, I mean, shooting a 65, and that's dominant. That's being able to just say, hey, this course may be challenging for some. For me, it's not at all. And sometimes you get hot. We talked to Olivia Braun about that a couple weeks ago, just what that feeling's like with the putter. And that's really what it takes. And Charlie Woods, he'll probably – we'll see his name in the PGA Tour probably before you know it.
I think you're onto something there. And there are people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, casual golfers out there. They enjoy playing every Father's Day and maybe once or twice a month. And, of course, they will never even sniff the 60s. This guy's doing it at age 16, which is pretty phenomenal if you really kind of put things into perspective that way, too.
Hey, didn't it get off to the greatest start? I got the scorecard in front of me here, too, because he got a 7 on the fourth hole, par 5, 480. I think that's a par 4. So he got a triple bogey. Then he went, like, birdie, 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 par. And then on the back nine, he had a couple other birdies, an eagle in there as well. I mean, pretty impressive for Charlie Woods, man. Pretty impressive.
Just goes to show you he had one bad hole, but it didn't let him derail his performance there for the day. So very, very impressive indeed.
601-yard par 5 on one of those holes.
It's a murder horn right there. Holy moly. Or as Bryson DeChambeau calls it, a two-stroke or something like that. Or a double drive or something like that. His first drive would probably get halfway there. So good stuff there from one Charlie Woods. Yesterday, of course, the Indiana Pacers, they took care of business over the New York Knickerbockers to now enjoy a 3-1 series lead. And the crowd got a little bit juiced up, a little fired up before the game as Pat McAfee was on the microphone. And I'm sure you saw that clip. It's since gone viral. I can't play it because there's lots of swearing involved, and I'm not trying to get an FCC violation here on the Sports Hub. But I will tell you this, as he was calling out a couple of A-listers, I guess, there from the New York Knicks fans, Ben Stiller was there, Spike Lee, and Timothy Chalamet. Did I say that right? Chalamet?
Chalamet, yeah.
And McAfee was on the microphone saying, let's send these guys back to New York City. He used more colorful language than I did. But if you ever watch a Lakers game, if you ever watch a Knicks game, they always show the celebrities courtside.
Celebrity Row, man.
Celebrity Row. It's a big thing there at Madison Square Garden, world's most famous arena, they say. I don't care who's sitting courtside at any game. You know, maybe that's just me. But same thing for an NFL game. Like, oh, look at Joe Smith and row 17. Like,
you don't care if Ben Stiller's there?
I don't. No. Why does anybody?
I mean, they're actors, man.
And?
Okay. I mean, they're fans of their teams.
That's fine.
Okay. What if he just came out with a new movie? And they're like, oh, Tom Cruise is at the game.
I do like Tom Cruise.
There you go.
I don't need to see him on my TV, though, all the time.
I mean, I'm with you, like, all the time, but, like, that doesn't bother me at all.
I mean, it doesn't bother me, but every single time we got to go to who's on Celebrity Row this time?
Well, the problem right now with it is it's the same guys.
Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet and Ben Stiller and Spike Lee, you could pretty much, I mean, they're going to be at the game. They've
right.
been in every single game, so I'm with you on that. I mean, how many times do we need to see Ben Stiller? I'm with you. I mean, we know he's been at every single hour. How many times do we got to see Patrick Ewing and John Starks? They're at the game. They were at the first series when they played Detroit every game. So I do the repetitiveness of it can be annoying. But if there's somebody new, why not? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. If it's somebody new, I guess fine. But for me, I'm just not a fan of celebrity culture. I don't understand the bowing at the altar of celebrity. I just don't get that. maybe other people do and they just love their Taylor Swift. I'm just not that kind of guy. And
it's,
you know,
Ben Stiller, man. Dodgeball.
That's like 20 years old.
Vince Vaughn.
I like Vince Vaughn too, but
you know, if you like an actor, I mean, why not? Like seeing your favorite actor at the game. I mean, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, that's fine. And you know, that's the beautiful thing about the sports hub. We don't have to agree on everything, and that's fine. But I just don't bow at the altar of celebrity culture. I'm not saying that you do. I'm just saying it's one thing that it irks me. It bothers me. Speaking of things that bother me, this makes absolutely no sense, and maybe you can help me out with this one. This last weekend, the Golden State Valkyries, they lost to the New York Liberty yesterday. Actually, this is from yesterday.
This is WNBA.
WNBA. By the way, side note, that's a really cool name for a team, the Valkyries. I kind of like that. But they're
when you first said that, I'm like, are we talking baseball here?
Yeah. Well, are we talking AA? No, we're talking WNBA basketball. So their head coach, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly or not, Natalie Nakase, I'm going to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
She said the Valkyries, they hadn't practiced before last night's game against the New York Liberty. She said, I'm prioritizing rest. She thought it impacted the team's rhythm tonight. They lost the game 95-67. They didn't practice before the game last night. So yesterday, if my math is correct, was Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was Tuesday. Their last game was Friday before that. So they had all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all day Monday to rest. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, it's the fourth game of the year.
Yeah, they haven't played a lot.
What do you mean rest?
Yeah.
They lost by darn near 30. Prioritizing rest. And oh, by the way, it's also the WNBA. You're not playing 82 games a year.
No.
What is it, 36 or 38, 40?
It's probably
41?
Half of 82, probably.
It's something like that. What do you mean you're prioritizing rest?
I'm glad you brought that up, the beginning of the season. I see it in baseball all the time, too, Tukes. Like, guys sitting out games in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all.
44 games.
Yeah, 40. Okay, 44 games. You're playing half the season, and you played Friday. You got 3 days off. What do you mean rest? I'm 100% with you. And like I said, I see it in baseball, especially with my team, the Orioles. Can't stand it. They got a shortstop playing center field yesterday, plus a backup right fielder. I just don't understand that at all. You're 15 games under .500. I'm sorry, I'm putting this on a baseball thing, but you're 15 games under .500. You haven't even played 2 months. You had a couple rainouts in there, and you're sitting, guys. I just don't understand that at all at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's a bad example. The O's have already punted on the season.
yeah, good point.
But I didn't get that at all. It just made absolutely no sense to me. It's the fourth game of the year. We played on Friday. This would be like Paula Kruger playing on a Saturday after an NSIC weekend. You're playing on Friday, Saturday. Their next game's on Thursday.
So do they even practice?
It's like, nah, we're not practicing.
What?
Prioritizing rest. I don't get that. That's goofy to me.
Just do a walkthrough or something.
A little shoot around.
Yeah, do a little light shoot around.
The blood
game
flow.
Plan or film study or something.
Man, and there's a reason why they lost by darn near 30.
That's the reason.
Amazing. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some Minnesota Twins baseball as Cody Christie. He'll be joining us next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Northern State football talk towards the bottom of the hour. Their golf outing is coming up in about a week and a half or so. Jake Irie, he'll be joining us live in studio. First and foremost, though, we're talking some Minnesota Twins baseball as a writer for Twins Daily, Cody Christie, makes his Sports Hub debut. Cody, thanks for taking some time out of your Wednesday, sir. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. And it's actually our pleasure to talk some Minnesota Twins baseball because they've really been playing some pretty solid ball of late. A tough start to the season, certainly, but they have really pieced together a really good month, give or take, here. And what do you think has been kind of the big key to this massive turnaround that they've had right now?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this Twins team, it is completely built around the pitching staff. Coming into the year, the bullpen was projected to be among one of the best in the league, and the starting staff has been unbelievable during this run that you just mentioned. And so it's been a lot of that. They've been kind of squeaking out enough offense to keep the team in games, but we've seen Pablo Lopez, Ryan Bailey Ober, even a little bit of Chris Paddock, you know, that have been carrying this staff, and it's been fun. It's a fun brand of baseball when we're seeing this team kind of clicking the way that it has recently.
And Cody, I was reading an article you did this morning. You were ranking your 2025 All-Star candidates, and you know the headline there was Byron Buxton a lock, and it certainly seems that he's been that here to start the year. Obviously, when he's healthy, he's not just one of the best players on the Twins. He's one of the best players in all of baseball.
Yeah, I jumped into that article just thinking that the ballot for voting should open up for fans. And so to kind of give fans an idea of, like, where do the Twins currently sit? And Buxton, even missing a little bit of time here with the concussion, is right up there with, like, Cody Bellinger and Julio Rodriguez as far as the top center fielders. And so he should be getting a lot of votes when it comes to that. But as you said, I mean, he's so dynamic on both sides of the ball. If he's healthy and out there, I mean, this version of Buxton that we've seen this year has just been unbelievable on both sides of the ball. Being able to play out in center field very regularly has been a big switch over what we've seen the last few years with Buxton. And so that definitely makes it exciting. But, I mean, they have other candidates too. Joe Ryan should get plenty of support when it comes to the All-Star team. Pablo Lopez should be in there. Even Yoan Duran, they like some of those, you know, flame-throwing closers to come into this showcase. When you can hit, you know, over 100 miles an hour pretty regularly and drop that splinker of his in there, it's definitely something that they probably want a pitcher like that on the roster too. Could be exciting.
Matt mentioned Vince Vaughn in our first segment. So to quote the great Vince Vaughn, not to take a turn to negative town here, but a really slow start to the season. And now this is back-to-back years where the Twins have gotten off to excruciatingly slow starts. And even after you win 13 games straight, you're still sitting in not first place because of that slow start. What do you attribute the last couple seasons, these really, really slow starts to the squad for?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think this year was a little bit more disheartening because of the way last year ended, right? You ended last year entering those last month and a half or so with over 90% playoff odds and just tanked over the last month or so. And so you all the talk this spring was about, like, oh, we're focusing on this. We're gonna get our main players into more spring training games. We're gonna have them all ready to go. And you come out and do basically the exact same thing that you did last year and kind of crater early on in the year and then go on a long winning streak to get yourself back into it. And so I think it's just a combination of things. We saw the rotation that has been the team's strength so far really struggled that first time through the order with multiple guys just having clunkers out of the gate. I'm not sure what you can attribute that to other than maybe, you know, there's some colder weather at the beginning of the year. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer for the bats to get going. I think Royce Lewis being hurt in spring training, you know, they were hoping he could be back and be in the lineup and impacting things a little bit more. So I think it's a multitude of factors, and it's going to be a talking point next spring training too, is like, how can they avoid this with this kind of the same core of Twins players?
And to piggyback off of Tukes' question there, you look at the American League Central. This year, it's probably the best division in baseball. I mean, you got four teams out of the five that are over 500 right now. Twins and Guardians, they're in second. Obviously, Detroit's kind of been the best team to start the year at 36-20. I mean, this is a pretty tough division, and I always talk about being able to win some division games. Last week, there was a lot of rain and whatnot, so the Guardians and Royals came to town. And the Twins did a pretty decent job against both those teams, 18-8 at home this year. I mean, that's a great start to the season there at home.
Yeah, they've definitely played well at home despite some early season weather damp or whatever it may be. But, yeah, this division is going to be a dogfight until the end, I think. Detroit jumped out to such a quick start I think they're going to come back to the pack a little bit. The Guardians, I think, took 3 of 4 from Detroit over the weekend. And so I think we're seeing a few more of those flaws in the Tigers. But, yeah, I mean, realistically, last year the AL Central had 3 playoff teams. I would expect, you know, at least 3 teams to be in contention, if not 4 teams to be in that playoff race all the way to the end. I think we saw Detroit ended last year on such a hot streak that got them into playoff position, and then they won a series in the playoffs. And so I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be all these teams were expected to do well. And I think the Twins have the pieces that they need to be competitive and hopefully put themselves in contention to get back to the playoffs again.
Cody Christie, Twins Daily guest, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. We've got Twins pregame right around 11:30 here this morning, and your first pitch slated for 12:10 as they go for another series victory. 7 consecutive series victories should they win today. They've won 6 consecutive series here, Cody. I mean, this has got to be an incredible run that they're on, certainly. But do you see it happening here today and continuing this momentum heading into Seattle this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely helps to have Pablo Lopez on the mound to kind of be that ace at the top of the rotation to put them in, you know, a good position to win. It's a very strange road trip that they're on with they traded series with Tampa Bay. This series against Tampa was actually supposed to be at Target Field, but they flip-flopped this Memorial Day series with their 4th of July series. So Tampa's coming to Target Field at the beginning of July to avoid some of the swampier weather, since Tampa's playing outdoors at a minor league park. So then, yeah, at least they have an off day tomorrow to kind of, as they cross over multiple time zones to get out to Seattle and then go and play not Oakland anymore, but West Sacramento Athletics, I guess we want to call
yeah,
them,
I guess.
Who also play at a minor league park. So it's a strange road trip, multiple coasts, multiple minor league stadiums as they try and keep these winning ways going. So yeah, it should be a good day. Hopefully Lopez just puts them in position to like you said, get that series victory.
Is there a guy that's maybe surprised you here earlier on this season? A guy that comes to the mind for me is, you know, what Harrison Bader's done. You know, he's hitting mm-hmm. 276, 21 RBIs. I mean, that's somebody that's producing that maybe he didn't think was going to do at that level to start the year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's definitely up there on this team as far as surprises. I think they were expecting a solid defense from him, especially okay. knowing he was going to shift from, he's been a career center fielder, shifting to a corner spot. And providing plus defense there. They knew they were going to get value. And I think they were hoping that any offense he provided was just going to be extra.
Okay.
But as you just mentioned, I mean, he's hit some critical home runs that have helped them to win games. He's hit for a lot more power than I think the Twins were expecting when they signed him. So that's been definitely a plus. I think the other big name to mention is Cody Clemens, who they picked up for basically cash considerations, because the Phillies were dropping him from their roster. And he's just the 13-game winning streak. I think he was, out of the position players, he was the MVP of that with multiple key hits. Had a big hit the other night now too. And so it's been pretty cool to see, just as he's been getting more playing time, more consistent playing time, his bat's been up this year, just hitting the ball with more authority. And so I think outside of Bader, who you mentioned, I think Cody Clemens is definitely the other piece that's just been, they got him for basically nothing, and he's been key to a lot of their victories lately.
You mentioned the home runs, some critical home runs. You know, the Twins as a team, 51 home runs, that's 20th in all Major League Baseball. Do you think, you know, does that come as a surprise to you at all? Is that, do you think where they're going to be pretty much throughout the season with the home run ball? I know a lot of other teams, like, you know, you look at the Yankees, they like, and the Dodgers, they rely big time on the home run ball. Have the Twins done that a little bit this year in spots?
Yeah, I think getting this team healthy is really what's going to be help those those home run totals. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of Matt Wallner, who should be returning to the team on this road trip. We've seen Correa's bat has kind of been heating up a little, had three hits last night. So hitting for a little bit more power. He had a wrist issue that was bugging him earlier in the year. Getting Buxton back, obviously, from this concussion, even with him missing time, he's the only guy on the team with double-digit home runs. And so, you know, it's getting Royce Lewis back in the swing of things. Ryan Jeffers has been swinging a better bat of late. And so I think it's just get this team healthy, get some of those pieces back in place, and I think some of those power numbers are certainly going to come. Seattle is a tough place to hit home runs in, but then they go the stadium that the Athletics are playing in as a very homer-friendly environment. And so I think that series against the Athletics, we'll see a lot more balls leaving the park there.
Cody Christie joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You can find him there at Nodak Twins Fan there on X, and of course at Twins Daily there as well. Maybe final one before we get you out of here, Cody. And again, thanks for taking some time and joining us. What else are you kind of working on there on social media and on the website to kind of get the word out more about the Twins and just kind of the day to day stuff, or anything else that you got kind of up your sleeve that you'd like to tease?
Yeah, for sure. Looking at the Twins, I think a lot of fans might be looking down into the minor leagues, and one of their top prospects, Walker Jenkins, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, actually, has been injured for a lot of this season. And so there have been a few updates on him in the last couple of days. And so I have a piece that will be posted here in the next day or so, just looking at his health. It sounds like he's still a couple weeks away. He had a high ankle sprain that he had to get a cortisone injection for. And so they're kind of waiting for that to take care of itself so they can get him back on the field. I think there was a lot of stuff last night posted just on the sale of the Twins team. And so we'll probably have some stuff on Twins Daily about that too. It sounds like there's multiple parties interested in purchasing the Twins. A few of those parties have come to Target Field over the last month to kind of get a tour of the facility and things like that. And so there might be some things moving in that direction as the Poleds try and sell the Twins for, it sounds like they're asking for about $1.7 billion, and most people want to pay about $1.5 billion, which is, yeah, it's hard to fathom that amount of money, but there could be some things happening on that front too when it comes to the Twins and possibly getting some new owners. So some stuff like that will be coming up at Twins Daily.
Don't worry, Cody. Matt and I are pooling our money. We're seeing if we can maybe raise some coin. We'll pull it with you
big
there, too.
Big money in radio, right?
Big time, absolutely. All right, Cody, we appreciate you being a part of the program there. At Nodak Twins Fan there on X and at Twins Daily. Thanks again for doing this, and we'll look forward to having you on the program at some point in time later on this summer. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, likewise to you. Yeah, I think we got some, you know, extra $1.7 billion laying around, something like that, right?
Maybe not. I might have to take a loan out of the credit card or something like that.
I think so. We don't think we have that kind of coin. But I didn't ask him this because we kind of ran out of time. We got Jake Irie joining us here very, very shortly. The Twins haven't put up double-digit runs since April 28th. So you're looking at about a month time. And, oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, they're playing some pretty good baseball since that time anyway. So their offense hasn't exactly been lights out, but their pitching staff has been. And I think he brings up a salient point. As soon as that offense starts to kind of get back, you start to hit the home run ball a little bit more.
Yep.
This could be a dangerous team coming August and September.
Well, 16-4 their last 20 games. And you talked about it the last couple weeks about just how good the pitching staff is, especially the bullpen. But the starting pitching staff has been lights out. Ryan Lopez, Paddock has even been pretty good as well. I mean, I got on him early on in the season. Yes, he's got a 2-5 record, but a 3.9 ERA is your fourth or fifth guy. I think you're going to take that any day. But when you have that 1-2 punch with Ryan and Lopez, they're going to be a tough team to beat. And when those guys are pitching back to back, you got to like your chances. And I think Pablo's going today. So if you can get a good start and give him some run support, you're going to be fine. But that is an interesting point. When they get healthier, you got to think the bats are going to keep going. But I feel like pitching is so momentum based sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like you can get a hot bullpen. We talk about having a hot goalie. When you get that hot bullpen, a couple hot arms, you're going to be ready to go. I'd like to see a little bit more from Griffin Jacks. He struggled a little bit this year. If you can get him back to prime form, this team could be really solid. But 30-24 is where the Twins are at right now. If you would have told me that a month ago, I would have said you're crazy.
I know. Especially after that excruciatingly slow start, to your point. So looking forward to that one here today. 12:10 for your first pitch on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll swing the sticks with Jake Irie coming up next on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Glad to be with you back in studio as Jake Irie joins us. How's your Wednesday, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Just living the dream, you know?
Yeah.
You said you've had a couple coffees this
morning.
I've had
a couple cup of coffees, but we're doing good. We made it, and we're here, and ready to go, man. Ready to attack the rest of the day.
Ah, that's the definition of a football coach, ready to attack the day. Love to hear that. Well, we're going to talk some golf here in just a second, but spring ball officially in the mix. Officially, I should say, finished up. Transfer portal season, all that good stuff. Yeah. What's the last, I guess, month and a half or so kind of looked like for you with everything?
The last month and a half has been, it's been fun. It's been a roller coaster. I tell you what, I love our roster right now. I just really, really like our guys and where our locker room's at. I know you guys have had Coach Schmidt on the air, and he's talked about that too. Just our team right now and the brotherhood in that locker room and the culture within the locker room is just so strong that it's really, really fun. It makes it really fun to be at work every day around those guys. You know, and then the transfer portal, it's been fun. You know, it's kind of interesting. This year's cycle is so unique. You know, just kind of the ebbs and flows. I feel like we've been kind of on the forefront of the transfer cycle stuff in Division II for the past couple of years. So we've seen kind of what has worked, what hasn't worked. I feel like that other teams in our league have kind of realized what we realized a couple of years ago now. And then we've been able to take a couple of different pivots within that as well. So, you know, excited about some of the transfer guys that we have coming in, some grad transfer guys that actually moved up this past weekend, and guys coming in throughout the week, early next week, and getting ready to go. Some JUCO guys getting really dug into North California Junior College football. I don't know if you remember, do you remember Ty Viamoa from a couple years ago?
The name sounds vaguely familiar.
So Ty is actually coaching junior college ball out there. He played for me here. So kind of a connection piece that was able to utilize in some recruiting stuff. So just excited about the group that we're bringing in, and really excited about our roster. I think that when anytime you bring in a transfer, you're not bringing in a transfer guy to replace, you're bringing it to enhance. And just really excited about how our team is shaking up for the fall.
Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, we've had Coach Schmidt on, and you kind of talked about it a little bit, but just the buy-in, it seems to me that, you know, everybody's bought in. You need that even in, you know, during the off seasons and things of that nature.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's the fun thing. Obviously, summer is we don't get a chance to really, as football coaches, get to spend a bunch of time with our guys. We see them around and stuff, but we're not really able to work with them. They're up in the weight room with Coach Neer and his staff, and, man, they do an awesome job up there. But just from, you know, exit interviews and stuff, it sounds like we're going to have, you know, 70-plus guys here in June, and had a handful of our incoming freshmen that have already said they're going to come up in July. And, you know, that's just that type of buy-in, like you said, is huge. Like, you know, a couple years ago when we got here and coming off of COVID, you have 45 guys here in the summer. Well, if we can have 70, 80 guys here in the summer, that's huge. Huge for what you're doing. And I think our team's really matured a lot over the last 6-7 months. Like last year, and I think it's crazy to think about how young we were. You know, you think about that beginning part of the year, that feels like eternities ago now. But just how they matured throughout that season and figured out how to win and how to stay together through stuff. It's really cool because so many of those pieces are back that they understand now what that takes. So they won't accept anything less from each other, which is pretty cool.
So you mentioned the 70 there. Does that just help so much with, like, the competition aspect of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing is anybody that wants to be in that mix, you know, and for incoming freshmen, it's hard. Like, part of you want to promote still being a kid. Like, half of these guys are still playing high school baseball or running track or, I mean, shoot, we have Cash in the Plan on our team. He went back home. So after school was done, he went back home and walked at high school graduation last weekend. Like, he's 17 years old, you know, but like, we want those guys to still be kids and still have some of those moments. But for our veterans and, you know, honestly, we brought in that huge freshman class about a year ago now, right? We brought in 47 of them. 42 of those guys are still on our team. We didn't really have the only guys that left our team at this point here were guys that didn't make it academically. Like, that's just kind of where they had personal issues. They're not transferring out. The guys that are here love being here. You know, it's the camaraderie piece. It's the competition piece. But I think it's a place in our locker room where the guys understand that in order to be a good team, they have to want success for their teammates just as much as what they want for themselves. And that's what you really accomplish in the summer. Yes, there's the competition. Everybody wants to play, right? Who doesn't? But to be able to push each other to be the best unit, I think that's really the cool thing that we're starting to see.
Jake Irie joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and saw on social media, according to Sidelines Sports Network, that Northern State football is the top non-FBS transfer class heading into this year. What's that kind of mean to you and the squad?
It's really cool. Really cool, but I think it's a testament to our staff. And, you know, I think you guys will really like the people that we continue to bring in. Like, I think it's been really cool that, you know, we've kind of experienced everything here. We sure have had great players here over the past few years. But I think we've really dialed in on the right people within all of that. And it's a group that understands how valuable some of this is. Like, we have he's signed, so I can talk about him. But we have a young man who's coming to us from junior college in California. He never visited. He only did FaceTime visits. He did a FaceTime visit with his mom. So I have him on one phone, his mom's on another phone, and they're FaceTiming, and I'm showing him around. And I show him in the locker room, and he sees the locker plaques, but how it has all the people who donated for the lockers. He's like, do I get to meet those people? Because this is really cool. Like, that, I think that's what I'm getting at, is like, the people that we're bringing into our team they understand, like, man, this isn't normal. What we have at Northern State is really special, and they're really appreciative for that. You know, it's the same thing with how we practice and how we prepare, and you see that with our team. Like, we finished second in the country in fewest penalties last year. Well, there's a reason for that, because the guys are grateful for what they're getting. And that's a really cool locker room when you infuse a little bit more talent into that group. And certainly we've attacked that in the portal, but the guys that we've brought in are great people as well, and great students, and guys from literally all over the country, all walks of life, that are bought into what Northern State means, whether they're here for 6 months or 6 years. They're bought into what this community means and what this university means, which is pretty cool.
Was that tough, doing something like that on FaceTime? Like, let me switch the camera real quick.
Honestly, you'd be surprised, man. That's how we're doing a lot now.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, just the portal cycle, it's interesting. Because junior college guys, you kind of have an idea. Like, we've been visiting junior college guys since January. Because you have your positions that you know you want to target based off of where you're at on your roster. Like, defensive tackle was a position we wanted to target with transfers, because we're really young at defensive tackle. That's not because we don't believe in our defensive tackles on our roster, but we needed to add some veteran pieces to that mix, right? But I think for us, it's like, okay, we can bring junior college guys up because we know when guys are leaving. Transfer portal guys, like, that turnaround is like this. Like, those guys enter the portal, you know, at least in the spring window, we have a little bit more time. But like a December window, I mean, gosh, these guys go in the portal December 12th, right? They got to be at a new school and enrolled in classes by January 7th.
Wow.
You know, and you got Christmas in there. Like, and that's how situations like what happened with Keegan transpires. You know, like, Keegan Mountain's back. I know he put the whole thing out on social media, and it's awesome to have him back. But you make a decision, a rush decision. You don't really get a chance. You're kind of, everybody's a used car salesman. Everybody's selling the greatest product in the world, right? And then you get there, and expectations are different than the reality. And I think that's the one thing that we've really been able to do in the recruiting process, is who we are is who we are. Like, who we say we are, we're going to follow through on. And that experience is going to match the process. And a lot of places haven't been able to do that. But I think the best asset to that is our players. And our players are honest. Like, it's really fun. Like, we were out to eat with a guy last week. Me, Keegan, and Max Van Landenham were out to eat with a recruit, and they were honest with him. Like, hey, this is where we've been. This is what we've gone through. This is where we're at now, and this is the trajectory we're on because of this. You know, it's something we talk about even on our junior day visits is 0-4 and what that meant to our program to be able to go through that to get to where we're at now. We talk about that with every recruit. It's really cool for me because I'm the old guy on staff. I've been here the longest out of anybody now at this point, which is crazy to me. I'm 28 years old and been the longest tenured guy on staff. But it's cool to be able to tell that story. And, I know you guys have had Coach Wiseman on the air a couple yep. times. And it's really cool. Me and him went out to Wisconsin to recruit a couple weeks ago. And he was just asking questions. And I told him the whole story. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, it's just pretty cool to see where we've been and what we've been through. To be able to be at the point we're at now where we really honestly feel like we have a team that compete for a championship. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're excited. We're jacked for football season. I know you're around 100 days away. I got to do the exact math. I think it's like 103 or 102, whatever it is now. I'm going to start the countdown here in the not-too-distant future. I know you got to get out of here.
No, we're all good.
But we're here to talk a little golf as well. Not this coming Friday, but the following Friday, June the 6th out at Lee Park is the NFL NSU football event. How do we get kind of signed up for that?
Yeah.
And kind of talk us through it.
Yeah, so we certainly still have a couple spaces available for teams. You know, my email address, if you guys check out our social media pages, my email and contact information is all out there right now. Teams are going to be $700 for the team. That's about $125 per player. We have a couple of different additional add-ons. We have some whole game options. We have a pass where you can prepay for that plus drink tickets and really kind of save some money. But everything is going right into our student athlete experience. And I think that's really the fun thing about it for us is it's really cool to see all of our alumni back, but it's also really cool to see all the people in the community that care. And we're certainly looking for a few more teams, but at the same time, different sponsorship opportunities, different pin prizes, raffle prizes, all that good stuff. Anything can go a long way, and every proceed from the event goes right back into our student athletes. It goes right back into providing nutrition for our guys, and it goes right back into providing scholarships. So, you know, for us to be able to continue to put together the best roster that we can put together, every dollar and cent matters. So it's a really fun event. You guys were out there last year and played in it. It's a lot of fun. It's a really fun day out at Lee Park. And John Murdy does a great job out at the course and setting it up for us. I was on the phone with him on the way over here. So, it's pretty awesome and can't wait for it.
Course is in good condition, too.
Yeah.
That rain helped it out. I'll tell you what, it's in great condition. So looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Are you playing?
I am not playing.
You're like an octopus. You got tentacles and every different
hey,
thing.
Hey, you know how I roll, too, because it's fun. But, I'll be kind of running around and make sure everything's good. And maybe I'll take a couple celeb shots in there. You know, if I see you guys out on 15 or something like that, you need a drive, and then maybe I'll hop in, you know.
There we go.
All right. Contact Coach Jake Irie for more information at jake.irie@northern.edu. That's jake.irie@northern.edu. And get signed up today. Final thoughts, final comments? You got anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to say this real quick. You know, obviously, it's a fun time to be here at Northern State for myself. Really fun time as a sports fan. Indiana Pacers going up 3-1 last night.
You're
Halliburton,
happy about that, yeah.
Pretty happy. I'm an Indiana guy, so pretty stoked about that. I know you guys are stoked about the Twins right now, but the Reds are on the climb. So, hopefully we can mess around and get a Pacers and T-Wolves championship here for you guys. I know they got a little bit of a hole, but
yeah, they got a big hole. Yeah. I'm not too confident. I think it might be done tonight. So we'll see.
I'm not holding my breath either for that. It would be nice, but I just don't
see it. You guys can hop on the Pacers bandwagon. It's most fun we've had since 2015. So
that Naismith game one was pretty spectacular,
pretty awesome.
Huh?
Pretty awesome.
Those three pointers he reined in the fourth.
Just that to be able to come back. I thought the T-Wolves were going to do that the other night. But
I thought so too.
But
yeah, I'm not an NBA guy, but if I were, I'm a Bucks fan.
Okay.
And the Pacers are going to beat the Bucks, so
they let Halliburton's
a little rivalry
dad
going
back
on.
Yeah,
right there.
Halliburton's dad's back in the arena now.
Is that
from
right?
Everything from the Giannis situation. So
what a mess.
They had to put him in the box though. Yeah. They don't want him on courtside.
Yeah.
Heck, I'd rather be in a box rather than courtside anyway. I mean, you got
free food and all that
free
stuff.
Drinks and all that stuff. I'd rather be in a box any day of the week. But appreciate you popping in studio here, and we'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. And Again, if there's anything that anybody listening is interested in, please feel free to contact me via email, and we'll certainly get you guys set up with a team and all that good stuff for the tournament here next week.
All right, Jake Irie joining us here live in studio. We'll wrap up this Wednesday installment of The Hub after this. Got a regular old comedian over here, Matt McClure. I used to say that all the time. Ben Root used to hate it whenever I said that.
I used to say that back in my Sissonet days. Sure. I'd say, oh, sunny at 75. It's Joe Nichols out.
Going to be Joe Nichols outside. Ben's like, shut up. Stop saying that. But Ben's not here anymore, so I can say it without any side eyes. But good stuff there from Jake Irie joining us here live in studio. And again, you can check out us on the old Twitter machine there, and you can see all the retweets and reposts of the proper information to get signed up for that event. Of course, that's coming up not this Friday, but the following Friday on June the 6th. You can now check it out on our X account there at Facebook or Twitter.com, or I guess X.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 AM. Well, good stuff from the Aberdeen Central Golf Squad. They won the ESD tournament there yesterday, basically laughing past everybody. 22 strokes ahead of the field of Mitchell, and big time ahead of the rest of the field of Brookings, Brandon Valley, and Yankton. Olivia Braun, once again, the only player south of par. She finished 10 strokes ahead of Gabby Olson. Emma Doerr finished tied for third. Kylie Weyerbaugh in fifth. And not to put undue expectation, but I think we even said this off the air, if they don't win the state championship next week on Monday and Tuesday, there's going to be some disappointed folk, I think.
Man, no doubt about it. They've been dominant all year. And course played tough yesterday. Braun was the only one that shot in the 70s. Everybody else in the 80s. So played a little bit tougher than it did over the Memorial Day weekend when they played.
Of course, did not play tough down south in Madison. Rylan Horning of St. Tommy shooting a 64 meet and course record. By the way, Aberdeen Roncalli finished tied for fourth. Claire Crawford in fourth place.